have I searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. And the door of my prison was opened by love, and the ransom was paid, I was free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow, and I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from the guilt that I carry, from the dull, empty life I set free. For when I met Jesus, he made me complete. He forgot the foolish man I used to be. And I'm free from the fear of tomorrow, and I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last.
Wonderful. And if you're a child of God, you are free. Free to serve the Lord. And free to go out and present the gospel to someone who is not free, is bound in their trespasses and sins. You know, those of us that are free ought to go out and tell everybody you can be free. You can be free from the bondage of sin and from the bondage and slavery that sin puts one under and that Satan wants to keep us under. Well, thank you for being here this morning. Take your Bible, two passages of Scripture, Acts chapter 1 and 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Acts chapter 1 and 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Would you stand with me together this morning? We're going to stretch our legs one more time, let you be seated. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 9. Now, for those of you that may not be familiar with your Bible, let me bring you up to what's happened. The Lord has now gathered His disciples, His followers, out to a place called the Mount of Olives. He's gathered them there, and He has given them a commission that they were to be witnesses. They were to go into all the world and preach the gospel, He tells them in verse number 8, and that they would be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then, as He tells them that, He's already told them many times that He was going to leave, but that He would come again. And He reminds them in verse number 9 when He says, "And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He, Jesus, was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." You see, they had just seen the Lord ascend in a cloud back to the right hand of God. They had just seen the Lord that they had walked with for over 3 years, and they had heard teach. They had seen miracles. They had spent all of this wonderful time with Him, and now He's ascended back to heaven. But they got some assurance He's coming again. They got some assurance. Listen, this same Jesus that you've seen taken up from you, He will come again. Listen to me now. In like manner as you've seen Him go. Take your Bible, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. Paul writing here says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," or those that have passed away, "that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, because of that promise as a believer, because of that hope, he says, comfort one another with these words." You say, "What words, preacher?" The Lord is coming again. The Lord is coming again. And he's coming to gather those that have put their faith and trust in Christ. And I want to take these verses this morning, congregation. I want to preach to you on the subject of all through, all done. All through, all done. Father, bless now as we come now boldly before the throne of grace into thy presence this morning and ask you to meet with us. Father, this could be the last service that we get to worship thee before the return of Jesus Christ. Some today, Lord, this may be the last service that they attend before they meet you face to face. And so we ask, Lord God, that you would make our worship experience today. Would you empower this congregation and empower, Lord God, this preacher, as the word of God goes forth, that, Father, that it would go forth and find root and seed in the hearts of everyone that are under the sound of my voice this morning, and that Jesus might be glorified. And bless the teaching and preaching of your word, we pray this morning in the wonderful, the precious, the holy name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. There's not an event more anticipated by a faithful servant believer than that of the return of Jesus Christ. Yet may I also say that there is no event more feared by the backslider, more feared by the lost sinner, the hypocrite, than that of the return of Jesus Christ. You see, this next great event in biblical prophecy has been explained away, it's been ignored, it's been deemed a myth by many in the world today. The very reason for the denial of the return of Jesus Christ is because when he returns, it's going to dictate exposure. And nobody likes to be exposed, particularly when they're doing wrong, particularly when they know that they're not right. And yet, as if you're here this morning and you're a child of God, the coming of Jesus Christ ought to be one of the most anticipated things every day of your life. You ought to anticipate that today could be the coming of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 12, the Apostle Paul writes, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then," listen to what he says, "then shall I know, even as also I am known." You see, when the Lord comes back, he's going to expose some things. He's going to expose the believers from the unbelievers. He's going to expose the faithful from the unfaithful. He's going to expose the servants from the hypocrites. He's going to expose truth from error. And he's going to expose hope from hopelessness. Can I tell you this morning, when the sun rose in the east, when I got to the services, or when I got to church this morning, I got here before the sun came up this morning. Everything was dark. I saw silhouettes of buildings and silhouettes of trees. I saw everything, but I couldn't see everything perfectly. But when the sun came up this morning, and as it peaked its eyes over that eastern horizon, and I saw it come up, and it peeked over the corner of the other side of the world, you know what it did? It revealed everything as it was. I could see all of the buildings. I could see all of the trees. I could see everything for what it actually was. And can I tell you something today? The Son of God is coming one day. And when he rises and he returns from the right hand of God, he's going to expose everything for what it is. The believer from the unbeliever. The servant from the hypocrite. Truth from error. You see, the majority of the world today live under the cover of denial. They live under the cover of ignorance about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, because somehow they think that their denial or ignorance is going to serve as some life preserver for them, and just in case they happen to be wrong. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, if Jesus Christ returns and you know not the Lord, you will be damned forever and ever without hope and without God. You say, oh, preacher, that's just a fairy tale, isn't it? We'll find out, won't we? You see, the thing about it is whether a person denies or whether a person chooses to be ignorant on the subject does not change the fact that he's coming again. You see, this seems to be why most of the world, they live without fear of their condition at his coming, because their spirit is just settled into indifference. I've entitled our message this morning, All Through, All Done. My dad is retired now, and he's into auctions as a hobby. Anybody in here like to go to auctions? He's into auctions as a hobby. Now, he has stuff that he puts in the auction, but he also just likes to go, and sometimes I think he just goes to run the bid up. You see, I've been to a few auctions myself, and I've listened as an item is auctioned off by the auctioneer. Now, I want you to listen carefully. Usually, the way it starts off is with an opening bid, and then it goes from person to person until all but one are not willing to go any further to make the purchase of the item. You see, there's a stopping point for most people. Then they're not willing to go beyond that point. And at that point, the auctioneer will say something along this line. Going once, going twice, and you'll hear him say something like this. All through, all done, sold. And can I tell you this morning that one of these days the eastern sky is going to split. And I'm here to tell you that God's not trying to auction off His will, nor is He trying to auction off salvation. He's attempting to give it to you, but you're going to have to put forth some effort to receive it. You see, God will give you every opportunity to receive Christ and or obey His will in your life. You see, some of you this morning that know not Christ, can I say to you, the signs of the times are everywhere. The Lord's coming is at hand. And let me tell you something. He's already shouted going once. He's already shouted going twice. He's at the point to where He's saying, are you through? Are you done? I'm coming back. You see, it's at the point now. We're right at the very cusp of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He's crying out to many today, are you all through? Are you all done? I've offered it to you. You say, preacher, I'm sorry. I'm just not ready yet. What are you waiting on? You see, I've been to enough auctions. The bid gets high and it runs it up. You know what I'm talking about, Christians? You see, the thing about it is the reason I believe most Christians don't read the Bible, because the more they read, the more that God expects of them, and the more that they see what God expects, and it scares them. And they're afraid of something online. Well, preacher, I'm not sure that I can actually do what the Bible says. Well, listen, if you're trying to do it humanly speaking, I'll agree with you. But the Scripture says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, every child of God has the Holy Spirit of God in them. And what I'm saying to you today is that there is a perfect will of God for every born-again believer this morning. And listen, you see, sometimes as we read the Bible and we see what God expects of us, we begin to think, you know what? This bid's getting a little bit rich for my taste. And all of a sudden, believers are starting to drop out one after the next after the next. Why? Because the bidding is starting to get out beyond where they want to go. And you know what? Once it gets up to a certain point that they don't want to go, they stop. And God says, all right, Christian, all through? All done? Are you done serving me? Are you done sacrificing? Are you done consecrating? And you know what he may do? He may say, all through, all done. And somebody in this congregation may go home today and breathe your last breath of life. And when you meet your Creator, God says, I said, are you all through? Are you all done? And in your heart, though you didn't say it with your lips, you told me by your actions, yes, I'm done. He said, fine, then you're of no more good to me on this earth. And he might catch you out of this world even as I speak. What I'm saying to you, I'd like to announce to you today that God, the God of eternity, is getting very close to closing things down. He's getting ready to close this whole thing down. He's at the point going once, going twice, but he's at the point all through, all done. Are you all through, all done? Have you already made your decision? You see, I wonder how many people came to church this morning and you have already decided what you're going to do and what you're not going to do before you ever heard a word of preaching this morning. Some already came this morning and decided, I'm not making any decision for God. Can I say to you, all through, all done? Are you all through, all done about your decisions for the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, it's not if he's coming. It's down now to when he's coming. I remember as a child, when I would get in trouble at home. Now, some of you probably think that I never got in trouble at home, but I had somebody the other day say, preacher, when are you going to bring your parents out here? Maybe never. Because my mom is not shy to tell you about all the things that I did as a child. But one of these days, I'll bring them out here. But when I was a child and I didn't comply with family rules, many times my mom would send me to my room. And I'd have to go in my room and I would sit in my room and wait. She said, now you'll go sit in your room and you'll wait till your father gets home. That's bad, bad words. Because, let me tell you something, to have to sit in that room and wait and wait and wait, the anticipation of the coming home of my dad. Anybody ever been there? Now listen to me. I had a clock in my room. And I would sit there and I would watch that clock, and here's what it would do. And I'm watching it. 1 minute. 2 minutes. 3 minutes. Hey, listen to me. You said, what were you doing? I was watching that clock, Brother Garner, because I knew when it was time for my dad to get off work, and I knew just about how long it took him to go from where he worked to home. And I was watching that clock. And when that clock would strike five, I thought, oh, God, he's getting in his car right now. And I knew about how long it took him to get home. And I began to watch that clock. I thought, 15 minutes of life left. 10 minutes of life left. 5 minutes of life left. You say, why did you tell us that, preacher? For 28 years, I've been watching the clock. For 28 years of salvation, I've been watching the clock. And you know what the clock's telling me? The clock's ticking. The clock's telling me it's almost time. Can I say to you, he's in the car. He's ready to come. There's nothing hindering him from coming back this morning. And for 28 years, I've been watching the clock, and it's telling me that the time of Jesus' return is very near. You see, the signs are all around us. And I know the Lord is going to call and end life as we know it today. But I know when the Lord comes, and I want you to think about some things this morning with me. I know when, according to Scripture, when the Lord comes, first of all, he's coming secretly. Now, I want to say to you, when I was sitting in my room, my dad didn't come secretly. He drove up. You know how we do, kids? When I thought I heard him drive up, you go over to the window. It is. It's him. Now, listen, I know some of you never did this. But I try to find as many things as I could. And I would take as much padding, Brother Garner, and I would stick it down here. Now listen, you know what? Sometimes I'm amazed at how stupid kids think parents are. You know, there's something up when my dad says, well, you know what's got to happen? You need to bend over the bed. He turns over and it's like, you know, I mean, come on. Parents, we're not stupid. But see, when I looked out and I peeked out and I saw that he was coming, I knew what he was bringing. I knew what was coming with him. Folks, can I say, there's nobody in this room. You're not ignorant of what this book says. You know he's coming and you know what he's bringing. And you know what's going to happen when he comes. And if you know not Christ, let me tell you something this morning. You'll die without God forever and ever and end up in a devil's hell forever and ever. Take your Bible, go if you would. If you're still there in 1 Thessalonians, just flip over to chapter number 5. Paul says, "But of the things and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." Verse 2, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh," listen now, "as a thief in the night." When the Lord returns, he's going to return secretly. We're not going to turn back there, but you can go to Acts chapter 1, verse number 7, and you'll go back there and find that Jesus told his disciples, "It's not for you to know the times nor the seasons." He says, "You don't be concerned about the times. You just serve me." He said, "You've already got my word. I'm coming back." And how he's coming back today, my dear friend, listen to me. He's coming back secretly. And when he does, there will be no announcement of the time. There will be no announcement of the time, lest we should squander away our lives and attempt to give God the leftovers. You see, if God announced when he was coming back, human nature would tell most of us today to only live for him until the last, or not live for him until the last second, and then get saved or get our life right with him at the last moment. That's the reason he didn't tell you what time he's coming. You see, I sat in my room, I watched the clock, I knew about when my dad would arrive. But can I tell you something? I can't tell you this morning when Jesus will arrive, but I can tell you this. The clock's ticking and he is coming. The clock's ticking and he is coming, and he's going to come silently, and there will be no announcement of that time. Can I say, number two, there will be no opportunity to talk. When my dad would come in, he'd come in and he'd address the situation. He said, "This is what your mother said happened here. This is what happened." Yes. If I said, "But Dad," My dad allowed no talking. You say, "Well, why didn't he let you talk?" Because he knew that everything coming out of my mouth was probably going to be a lie. Because what I was going to try to do was defend my position. What I was going to try to do was to try to talk him out of it. Listen to me, my friend. When the Lord comes back, there's not going to be any talking going on. There's not going to be any discussions. There's not going to be any say, "Well, you don't understand." Oh yeah, he understands. He understands it all. He understood that you didn't give a rip about the shed blood of Christ. He understood that you didn't give a rip about the cross. He understood that you didn't give a rip about his church, his son, or his word. He understands. There's not going to be any excuses when the Lord returns. There's going to be no announcement of time. There's going to be no opportunity to talk. Oh, can I say this? There's going to be no chance to turn. No chance. No chance to turn. About a week ago, I was coming up Davis here, and it was right about the time that Lamar High School, they were getting out and going for lunch, and you know, teenagers, you know, they were going everywhere, and I know better than to come through there during lunchtime. I try to go around it, but I decided I was going to go through it this time. So I came up Davis here, and there was a car in front of me, a little PT Cruiser in front of me. And there was a white pickup in front of that PT Cruiser. And we're going, now you got to understand, we're going about 40 miles an hour coming north on Davis. And a Lamar High School student decides he wants to turn and get into the parking lot. So he tries to make a U-turn in Davis. The problem is, He realized he wasn't going to make it in time, so he stopped and left the rear end of his truck in my lane. 40 miles an hour, cars on both sides. The PT Cruiser in front of me goes, "Eek!" And I go, "Eek!" The PT Cruiser missed the truck. I missed the PT Cruiser, but the guy behind me didn't miss me. Boom! Man, he nailed me good. Man, I'm telling you, he hit me hard. Can I say, though I didn't see him coming, I had absolutely no chance to get out of the way. I was absolutely helpless. I couldn't get out of the way. I was literally at his mercy. And guess what? Boom. He hit me. messed my bumper up on my truck. Oh, I'm sorry, on God's truck. Somebody reminded me of that. I said, I understand, I know. You see, when the Lord comes, there's not going to be an announcement of time. There's not going to be an opportunity to talk. There's going to be no chance to turn. I didn't have a chance. You see, the thing about it is, I talked to a lot of people, and they say, oh, preacher, I'm just not ready to come to Christ right now. I will one day. When will that be? When will that be? Will it be about a millisecond before a semi-truck runs over you? You think you're going to have a chance to make a decision about Christ in that short period of time? You will not. There's no time. There will be no chance to turn. You see, because if there were multitudes, would turn only for the sake of His coming and not for salvation or His will. That's all they'd turn for. They'd only turn because they had been exposed. You see, however, when He does return, the saved who are alive in Christ and the dead in Christ will hear Him. According to John chapter 10, listen to verse 27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now you can believe what you want to, but I believe when the shout of the archangel comes and the trump of God comes, and there is, and the coming of Jesus Christ comes, you know who I think is going to hear the shout? You know who I think is going to hear the trumpet? Only the sheep. You see, I think that most of the world is not even going to realize what happened. And then if they do realize what happened, they're going to try to explain it away. They'll say, oh, well, this is one of these secrets that we had hidden in the United States here. In our secret compartments and locked up in a vault. And this is one of the secrets that one day there would be a whole bunch of people that would be just exterminated. They'll come up with some idea. Can I tell you, when the Lord comes, He's coming secretly. Listen now, He's not just coming secretly, He's coming swiftly. He's coming swiftly. Take your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Just a few books back, if you're new to the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 52. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Verse 51. Here's verse 52. He said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Did you notice he said that the Lord will come in a moment? In the twinkling of an eye. Now folks, I don't know if you can measure the twinkling of an eye, but that's pretty quick. That's pretty quick. That means that's going to happen secretly, and it's going to happen swiftly. It's going to happen so swiftly that the lost world will not even realize what happened. It's going to happen so swiftly that the lost world will not even realize what has been taken. Now, you know, sometimes I hope nobody has to go through a break-in in your home, but those of us that have, someone's broken in your car, broken, you know, one of the things they want you to do, they want you to go in and look around and see what all's been taken. And they want you to make a list of all the things that's been taken. Now listen, some of us got so much junk that we're just like, you know what, just forget it. There's no way, how am I supposed to know what's taken? I got all this stuff. You see, most of the lost world is not even going to know what's taken until it's too late. They're not even going to know that all the believers have gone out of the world right off the bat. You see, the saved world should be prepared at all times. The saved world should be serving at all times. You see, the Lord's return will be so swift that the saved will be instantly changed. Instantly changed. Now, folks, you know, you and I, all we've ever known is this depraved body. All I've ever known is how to do wrong and depravity and sin. This old body never has wanted to do right if the flesh has never wanted to do right. Never! But there will be one day where this mortal shall put on immortality. This corruption shall put on incorruption. And the Scripture says, we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Can I tell you today, are you all through, all done? Because when He comes, He's coming secretly. When He's come, He's coming swiftly. Oh, I've got to tell you something else. When He comes, He's coming selectively. You see, here's what a lot of people think. A lot of people think that when Jesus comes, we're all going to heaven. I got some bad news for you. No, we're not. You say, well, what do you mean we're not all going to heaven? Only those who have Jesus Christ will be born and have been born in the family of God will be taken out. You see, when He comes, He's coming secretly, He's coming swiftly, He's coming selectively. You say, where is that in the Bible? Go back to our text, 1 Thessalonians 4. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's look at it. Verse 16 and 17. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Here it is now. And the dead, it didn't say, the dead shall rise first. It said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. When He comes, He's coming secretly. When He comes, He's coming swiftly. Listen, when He comes, He's coming selectively. Only the dead that have died in Christ will be raised again. Those who have chosen the way of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, no other way, plus nothing, minus nothing. That means, Mrs. Taft, one of these days, that dear husband that God allowed you to spend all of those years with will raise incorruptible. He'll raise immortal, and one of these days there'll be a family reunion in the Taft home. Glory to God. You know why? Only because of Jesus Christ. Only because of salvation can we sit here today and say that when He comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. You see, prior to death, one cannot be saved vicariously for another, nor can they be baptized for the dead to change their eternal destiny, and all these other false doctrines that are out there saying that once a person dies, that we which are alive can do something and pray them out of hell or pray them out of some situation that God has condemned them to. Let me tell you something, my friend. If a person dies without Christ, it's an eternity without Christ. No hope, no chance. Can't pray them out. You can't be baptized for them to get out. You can't receive Christ vicariously for them. You see, it's all through, all done for eternity. You see, only the saved or the dead in Christ shall be raised. And then only the saved in Christ that are alive at His return will be called up to meet the Lord. Listen, folks, I don't know about you. You say, preacher, do you ever make a Christmas wish list out? You know, so we'll make a Christmas wish list. Y'all don't ever do that? Man, y'all don't stick in the mud. But you know what? It's not called a Christmas list, but you know, I have a wish list and a desire list and a hope list. You know what's on the top of that? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Oh, today. Come today. You say, wait a minute, preacher, there are so many people that are lost without God. I know, but I'm telling you, there's something that yearns inside a born-again believer that desires to see the face of the Son of God, that desires to spend eternity with Him, that desires for this mortal to put on immortality and this corruptible to put on incorruption. There's something inside a believer that longs for that and desires that more than staying in this old corrupt world. You see, only the saved in Christ. Oh, I can't think of a better thing from the Lord to come back in our lifetime, would you? You say, why, preacher? Well, I'm not really fond of death myself. And I don't want to have to face that, but you know what? Hey, I'm willing to face it if God allows it. But I sure would love for Him to come back in my lifetime. You see, all the saved of all the ages will unite as one in heaven under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You see, the lost dead will remain, listen to me now, the lost dead will remain in hell for a minimum of 1,007 more years. Listen, folks, those are literal years. Literal years. The dead who died without Christ will remain in hell for a minimum of 1,007 more years, which includes the tribulation and the millennial kingdom of Christ. But let me tell you something. The lost alive as well at Jesus' coming will be split. Those who have rejected Jesus prior to His coming, the Scripture says they will be sent strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You say, what does that mean, preacher? I believe that that means without question. And you go check it out. You can find it. It's in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You can go check me out, verses 8 through 12. It says that those who have once heard the gospel, heard the truth, and have rejected the love of God, and have rejected His Son, the Scripture says that in that day, when the Lord comes and retrieves all who are truly born again out of this world, that those people who had opportunity and had opportunity and spit in the face of God and rejected Him will be sent strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And you know what that same group's going to do? They're also going to take the mark of the Antichrist, and when they do, they will be damned forever and ever and ever and ever, condemned without God. You see, those who've rejected Jesus, again, prior to His coming, will be sent strong delusion to believe the lies of the Antichrist and receive the mark of the beast and damn their soul to hell. The remaining of the lost will be preached to. You say they are? Yeah. By the biblical 144,000. Okay? You say, what is that 144,000? I don't have time to go in that, but there is another idea out there that's not biblical. It talks about 144,000. But there's a biblical 144,000 Jewish young men that will turn to Jesus Christ, and they will preach to the world to turn to the Savior. Many will turn to Christ. You see, I said the Lord's coming secretly. The Lord's coming swiftly. He's coming selectively. Let me say one more thing. He's coming scripturally. He's coming scripturally. You say, what does that mean, preacher? That means that nobody knows the time nor the seasons. So the next time you drive down the highway and you see a billboard that gives a date of the coming of Christ, just go ahead and put an X on that, that's heresy. Because the Lord says, no man. No man. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care how much popularity they have. I don't care what kind of following they have. The Scripture says, no man knows the day, the time, or the seasons. You see, when the Lord comes, He's going to come scripturally. Remember, He told His disciples just prior to them going out to Gethsemane. Remember, He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, listen now. He said, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let me tell you today, listen to me. Jesus was born as He said. He lived as He said. He was crucified as He said. He rose as He said. Listen to me. And He's coming again as He said He was. He's coming again, folks. I just want to ask you this morning, are you all through, all done? Are you all through? Have you already made your decision about what you want, your desire, your eternal destiny to be? You see, some this morning need to come to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. There's not a fleshly vice worth in exchange for your soul. There's not anything out there in the world that it has to offer whatsoever that I would ever exchange for my soul. And I'll just be honest with you, folks. If you're sitting here this morning, I wouldn't die and go to hell for nobody. Nobody. I'm here to tell you the Lord's coming. And you know what we're doing? Most of us are sitting on the side of our bed and we're watching the clock. Tick, 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 tick. And the signs are everywhere around us. If you're here this morning, you know not Christ. Today is the day of your salvation. God wants you to be saved. Why? Because time's running out. If you're a Christian this morning and you have come and you have not come and given your all and put your all on the altar, today is the day that you need to come and surrender. I'm just telling you and asking you, are you all through? All done? Would you bow your heads for just a moment this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who's a Christian this morning? Say, preacher, I'm a born-again child of God. There's no question about it. I know that if Jesus split the eastern sky today, I'm going to heaven. Don't you slip your hand way up high. I said, that's me. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it. I I've been born into the family of God. Wonderful, wonderful. You can put your hands down. Father, I come to you this morning on behalf of this congregation that you've assembled here this morning. Father, we know that your return is imminent. We know that your return is soon. We also know that your return will come silently. It will come secretly. It will be swiftly. It will be selectively. But we also know, Lord, according to Scripture, it will be scripturally. You will come as you said that you would. And Father, when that eastern sky splits, only those sheep that have put their faith and trust in Christ will hear your voice and be gathered to meet you in the air. Only those who are dead in Christ that have received the Lord will rise to meet you again in the air. So I pray, Father, please today, whether a person is here today without Christ or whether they're here with Christ, that today would be the day of decision because the clock is ticking. You're coming. We just don't know when. And when you come, Lord, there's no specific time. But when you come, there will be no opportunity to talk. There will be no chance to turn when the trumpet sounds and the shout of the archangel goes forth. Oh, please, would you move in hearts today? We must be prepared today. Today. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking around. There were a few that could not raise their hand just a moment. Would you let me pray for you? You couldn't raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm a born-again believer. It's not that I don't want to be. It's not that I want to die and go to hell. Preacher, I want to go to heaven. It's just that I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure of what's going to happen when I die. But you let me pray for you." No one's looking but me. You say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. Please pray for me." I want you to slip your hand way up high. Just slip it up. God bless you and God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who will join these two and say, "Preacher, that's me. If I died today, I'm not sure that heaven's my home." Be honest. We're in church. God bless you. There's three. God bless you. There's four. Who would say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me." Slip your hand up. You can slip it right back down. Be honest. We're in church today. God bless you. There's five. Who joined these five and say, "Preacher, that's me. I cannot say that I've had honestly a born-again experience with Jesus Christ." Anybody else will join these five. Say, "Preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Pray for me." We're talking about your soul. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, maybe you're here this morning. You'd say, "Preacher, I'm already saved. I've already been born again, but I've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. I know it's biblical. Would you please pray? That's the step I need to take in my life. Please, preacher, please pray that God will give me the strength to obey Him." If you're like that this morning, let me pray for you. Slip your hand up high. You say, "I've already been saved, never been baptized." God bless you and you and you. Who will join these three and say, "Preacher, that's me"? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Say, "Preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Please pray for me. I need to obey God and get my life right in that area." All right? Maybe you're here this morning. You'd say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian, but my life is not right. If the Lord came back today and I heard all through all done, or I heard come up hither, preacher, I'd have to face God with either a ruined life or a backslidden life or a life not pleasing to thee. Preacher, pray for me. I've got some areas in my life that I need to shore up. I've got some areas in my life that I need to get right before thrice holy God before that day and that hour comes where I meet my Savior face to face." You say, "Preacher, pray for me." Nobody's looking but me. Slip your hand way up high. Say, "That's me. That's me." Be honest. Be honest. Be honest. Be honest. Be honest. All right? God bless you. All over the auditorium. Now, Father, I ask you, please, take care of this invitation. It's yours. We lay it at the feet of the throne of grace. Lord, there were five or six people that raised their hands and said they did not know Christ. Please let today be the day of their salvation. There were four that raised their hand and said they needed to be baptized now that they've become a Christian. And I pray that today would be the day, Lord, that they'd come and obey you and follow through with your will. And there were many all over this auditorium that raised their hand and said they were a Christian. They're a child of God. And yet, Lord, their life is not in tune with the Holy Spirit. Their life is not in tune with your will. And if you came today, Lord, they'd have to face you not right with God. They'd have to face you in a backslidden state. They'd have to face you, Lord God, not having communion and a walk with God. Oh, please, my Lord, have your way today. Bless now, I pray. Save souls, change lives, and we'll give all the glory to thee in Christ's name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. As we stand, I'm going to ask the musicians to begin to play. I'm going to ask the song to begin to be sung. This is your opportunity. Come on. Come on. This is your opportunity. If you know not Christ, if you raise your hand, listen, don't delay. Don't delay. You come. You come. This is it. This is it. This could be it. Are you all through, all done? Are you satisfied with your life? Come on. Come on. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. Come on. Come on, Brother Cone.
Time after time.
Come on. This is your opportunity to come and kneel. Come on. Take advantage. Take advantage. Take advantage. Are you all through, all done? Is this it? It could be today, folks. The trumpet could sound. The shout of the archangel could take place. Are you ready? Are you ready? You say, preacher, I'm a church member. Church membership's never got anybody to heaven. You say, preacher, I've already been baptized. Baptism's never got anybody to heaven. You say, preacher, I'm a good person. Doing good things has never got anybody to heaven.